哎呀，刚，easy。哦，yeah，LC and 小平 and LC，OK，LC and 小平。No battery, it tahan 500 over hour. Can it tahan 500 over hour? Oh, memory card. Oh, sorry. Battery cannot. Memory card. Siangong. Oh yeah. Sadu, 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 sadu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Anh biết tè chè. Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 29 August 2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Suyang and Mipong's house. So let us now compose our mind, develop the Sadda Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Puja chanting. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Ādinādhāna viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmeraya majjhapamādathāna viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, the offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsena tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana motamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhaṃ kusumena nena Punnena matena ca hotu mokhaṃ Pupaṃ milayati yata idaṃ me Kāyo tata yati vinasa bhavaṃ Ādivāsetu no bhante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu nobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Now your chandi Puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and friction soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple jab. Betang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Then you can have an hour of silent awareness meditation. Just relax body and mind. We will off the light. Then you can just develop the meditation accordingly. Okay. Most of us are here before, so you know how to meditate, so it's very easy. Just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then maintain awareness, the first two support. Relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. If there is any thinking or thought that arises, just let it arise. Don't have to do anything. And you can just allow it to be, the mind will settle down on its own. Then you will experience the silent. The silent mind is your meditative mind, so you're just aware. Aware means your sixth sense door within your form and mind. Yeah? They can arise contact. Yeah? The trigger of their respective consciousness, but you need to really silence your mind to be aware of contact. So to be aware of contact is not to look for contact, just silent. The silent mind will detect it. But if you already have stabilized your sati, then you can stay at your heart area or your meditation object. It can be either Anapanasati or whatever that you are familiar with. You have to stay with your meditation object until the mind enters sati, until the object of meditation become very subtle, as if there is no movement at all. Whether it's the breathing, Anapanasati, or your rising and falling, or whatever object of meditation that you may have, just allow the mind to become very quiet, very still. Then the mind will enter sati. When the mind enters sati, just stay there. That's why the third support is 24 hours, means as long as you can sustain your awareness there. Then when it becomes very quiet, very still, you can detect many things. Your mind is sensitive. And that's how you will develop the understanding of how you function as a human being. How this contact arises. It's not the word anymore, it's the actual happening at your sense basis. When you are aware, the awareness can go to any of your sense or activity. Whatever that arises, just allow the awareness to be with it, just aware. No need to follow. But if it's at your heart, the mind base is the easiest. Because the mind base is a common denominator that the senses need for it to arise consciousness. So you can actually be aware at that mind base. Then you realize you can just switch it off later on when you become very skillful. All of the contact at your hearing, smell, taste or whatever, you can just be aware there and switch it off. Switch it off means have nothing to do with it. No need to proliferate. But when you're silent, you can develop the understanding. Then initially when you are not stable, when you can't switch it off, you realize you will follow the sense contact. After the sense contact, there will be movement. Then you can see them happening within your own sankhara. Your activity of mind, your other aggregates of mind, you can sense them. Then even when your mind starts to react, stir, and develop all the emotion, you will be aware. Then when you are aware, depend on your wisdom. If you have reflected, contemplated, the wisdom will act. The wisdom, the initial wisdom, will understand and teach you how to act. And you will know how to respond to all this. That's why during the form of meditation, you just relax, aware, and silent. And allow this mind to stabilize until the silence is very, very stable. Until the mind enters sati. Then during that time, you just relax. If you stay at the heart, you allow it to be, and finally it will detect the gateway. When you are completely silent without thought, the awareness becomes very sensitive. Then when it detects the gateway, you will know. A lot of things will happen. Your yin-yang energy will melt into the gateway. Then you will feel very soothing, very calm, very still. Then you realize your mind is without thought very fast. You enter the state of silence. You will realize your true mind, your true nature very fast. And it will stabilize there. Then even your breathing all will become very quiet, very still, very subtle. Until finally, no more movement. Then you can realize that tranquility, the stillness and the silence within, that is pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, your true mind, the meditative mind. So you develop the ability to realize that, then stabilize it. Then after that, your mind become extraordinarily sensitive. The mindfulness become very different. Then that time, very easy to maintain silence, maintain awareness and mindfulness. Whatever movement, the slightest movement, you can detect them. It's like magnify. Then the other thing that can happen is, wherever you look at your mind, it becomes very sensitive. It can be aware of all the vibration, the movement there. Okay, you can do that, then it's already very good. Then you continue to relax into all mind state and maintain awareness until you are very, very peaceful, very quiet, very still, fully aware within. Then after that, later on, when you come out of the meditation, this mind that has entered sati will be in the state of sati. Means every seeing is in sati, every hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile is all in sati. Even the arising of thought is in sati. So during this period of training, you will be able to experience the specific phenomenal awareness very clearly until it becomes a part of you. Until throughout the day you are just aware, mindful. The specific phenomenal awareness, when they are there, you cannot think. Yeah. But to live life, you can still arise the perception. The activity of mind, if you want to understand what those things are. So you can still live life like a normal person. But you will not become heedless anymore. Your thought will not proliferate like last time. It will not stir like before. Because your initial wisdom must have been developed. Otherwise your mind cannot enter sati. There must be some form of initial wisdom for your mind to enter sati. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, the alarm will sound. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. And you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation after that. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vichacharana Sampano Sugato Lokavido Anuttarang Nyasa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabu Enohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarang Punya Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
Okay, let's be respect Triple Gem. Bintang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, y'all can be seated. Yes, relax body and mind, huh? Then maintain some form of attention. Yeah. Okay. Anybody wants to report your meditation, yeah? You can just put up your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Yeah. Then you can follow up with whatever question that you might want to ask regarding the meditation or the teaching. Also how to apply this teaching so that you can use it to live life. Anybody? Ah, yeah, Tammy. Luckily got Tammy. Always Angie or Tammy. last Tuesday talk, Tammy's question very good. The answer came out also very good. But the question she asked, one of them is in the short note. I only saw it today, but I only finished the short note today.
Good evening, Vati.
Yeah, good evening, yes. Yeah.
My question is about, it's just a question from the Tuesday one.
Okay. You want to extend the question? You can.
Yeah. Because on Tuesday you say that I always feel that there's something behind.
Yeah, yeah. All these are your thoughts actually. Forget about it. Because when you think you are mindful, aware, it's actually the thought saw the other thought. Yeah, these are all the thoughts telling you. Then sometimes you become like divided. The thought say you must do this. Then there is another thought that tell you do this. All these are thoughts. But when you are aware, it's different. The awareness is aware of the arising of thought. That is totally different. Then when it arises, that thought, if you have developed the initial wisdom, you become different. You can understand what that thing is. But most people don't have the ability. That's why without the wisdom, without the understanding, even the initial wisdom is very powerful. Without that, the thought actually has power over you. It's egoic. So when this thought arises, you become involved with the thought. That's why you always say, when you are at Myanmar, it's like there's another thought behind the thought, there's another thought. So a lot of these are actually still thought-based. They have not really gone into the stillness, the silence, to develop the ability to be aware. When you have developed that, the ability to be aware is so different. The awareness that is aware of this thing, there is no word. It saw the whole thing come out. But the thought itself has a lot of words, a lot of concept, a lot of idea, a lot of verbalization. Then it comes with the reaction of mind, the stirring of mind. That's how you can see the sankhara activity and the movement. Sankhara are everything that your mind can do. That's the reason why the English translation, they need to use so many words. They always refer sankhara to karmic volition because it's responsible for karma. So karmic volition is one other word. Volition is intention. Then karmic activity, your thinking, your planning, your scheming and all those things. To them, karmic activity means your thinking. No, thinking is one of them. Your planning, your scheming, these are the activity that the mind do. Then this mind can also develop emotion, mental states. It can experience all the mind states. When there is restlessness, when there is this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, these are the mind states. Some of them are unwholesome, some of them are wholesome. Then you also have this good mind state where you experience the peace within, the piti, the sukha, the tranquility, the stillness, the peacefulness, the calmness. So these are all mind states. That's why mind states or mental states are also part of sankhara. Then your mind can also create mental formation. Yeah. It forms picture inside there. Mental images. Yeah. That's how sankhara can give rise to all this. So sankhara is a very very complete word. But the English translation, you need so many words. So the Buddha only used one word, sankhara. That's why he liked this word, sankhara. He said, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara is impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. May it be mental state, mental intention, mental formation, or mental activity, or whatever that your mind can do. That is sankhara. Including the ability to feel. So feeling is before the emotion. Do you understand? They always tell you, feeling got three types. pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. What is pleasant feeling? It's a movement away from the pure feeling. Do you understand? The pure feeling is neither pleasant or unpleasant. But when you stir your mind, then when you like that thing, it becomes a sensual desire. That's why you call it pleasant feeling. You feel good. But like pain, numbness, or the mental state that you don't like, you label it negatively. That's why you call it the unpleasant feeling. So this unpleasant feeling, when it arises, is a negative movement. They call it negative craving or ill will, the dislike, the unpleasant feeling. Then the other one that they call neutral feeling is actually indifference. You are neither happy or unhappy, but it got nothing to do with you. You understand? So the egoic mind is not conditioned and it does not stir, then you just feel normal. But the equanimity is different. Equanimity is born of wisdom. No matter what that mind state is, it's always in that state of equanimity where it has the wisdom behind it, understand. So when it understands, it is neither positive or negative. It does not stir. But it's not something that you resist or suppress or don't want to arise that feeling. You remember during the earlier Sunday class when Sue, the New Zealand Sue, came back from the India trip. She went with a group of, I think, Kayamita and also Achan Achan Lo, they all, their usual pilgrimage to India. He said he was so still, so quiet, like no thought. That is a conditioned state where he developed the intention to be in that state. And that is not a free mind state. And that is not sati. That's why later on only he come to know where she asked that question. How come her mind state was like that? No thought, so still. Was it? There is neither happy or unhappy. Everything is like that. Then later on she replied when she was in India, when the beggar come after her, she got this fear, she cringed, a lot of things she reacted. So that mind state is still not the equanimity that the Buddha talked about. That one is a conditioned state of mind where it suppresses everything. So when it comes to the true equanimity enlightenment factor, it's born of wisdom. The wisdom and the understanding will have the ability to accept things as they are, to allow you to see things as they are, to be with the moment, to experience everything the way it is. That's why you are always at peace. You will never stir your mind to complain and all those things. Because you understand. The understanding will make you peaceful, calm. And sometimes you can experience that calm state, the equanimous state. And then you realize this one is not agitated. This one is not restless. This one is not giving you any problem. It maintains that peace within so that you don't have to stir your mind, react to sense experience, so that your daily mindfulness can stabilize. That is the meaning of upekkha enlightenment factor. So this upekkha enlightenment factor, born of wisdom, is the one that steers you away from reacting to sense experience, so that in the midst of life, within your daily life, you can be at peace. You can have more moments of silence, stillness, space between thought. That's how the specific phenomenal awareness and the spacious awareness can be there. So all this will arise. So this part on sankhara is something you have to develop the contemplative understanding. Go into it. As you meditate, you see all this movement, activity. Then you try to ask yourself, what is this word sankhara? What does the Buddha mean? That's how you look at the textbook. They give you all sorts of explanation, all sorts of words, but nobody dare to touch on this word. Because this word is too wide a topic, too difficult for people to understand. So they always try to be safe. They quote that word. Then they use the English translation wherever it suits them. That was what I realized. During the early days, I find it very funny. How come this word? Nobody can really explain it. That everywhere they use different English words to cater for its meaning. Then later on, when I realized it in the meditation, then I saw those movements. Then I start to understand why sankhara is being defined that way. So sankhara, according to the Buddha, is everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. And these two are separated out. It's because these are important aggregates of mind that you need to separate out to develop the understanding. We are in his teaching later on. He needs you to understand feeling. Feeling is very important. That's why there is a foundation of mindfulness on feeling. Vedana nupassana, mindfulness of feeling. Yeah. So when this feeling has moved to become pleasant and unpleasant feeling, you must be aware. Means it already stirred, reacted. The mind has already developed the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will. Pleasant feeling is sensual desire. Unpleasant feeling is ill will. So when you understand that these are mental hindrances, then you need to develop the understanding to counter it through the spiritual faculties. That's why you need to train your mind. You must develop the faith, sadha, to make your mind very calm, very composed. And the faith in the Buddha and his teaching can bring forth this type of mind state that composed, calm, and strong mind that has the faith in his teaching, faith in his nine great virtues, the qualities that the Buddha has. So the faith in the Buddha and his teaching will make your mind different. Then it will allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Then when you can see the importance of this teaching, the beauty of the Buddha's quality, he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. So when you get to know him, how great a being he is, how special and unique a great being he is, you have this strong faith, and your faith becomes unshakable. And this will drive you to cultivate, where you see the importance of this cultivation. So this energy that drives you is virya, the second spiritual faculty. So virya is the type of spiritual zeal, tenacity that move you to cultivate. That's why you won't feel sleepy. You are very strong in your mental, your mind state. Then it will drive you to cultivate what? Sati, the third spiritual faculty. That's why you will go all out to train your mind, to develop the ability to be peaceful, aware within, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. Then you are home. The moment you stabilize that sati, it will become samadhi. Samadhi is the mind that is very stable. We call it the unwavering and collected mind. This mind is unwavering and collected, but before the real wisdom sets in. So that is samadhi itself. It's a free mind that is collected and unwavering, which means if you have samadhi in the midst of life, means when you come out of the formal meditation, your mind has this samadhi. You are at upachara samadhi, very stable. Then at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile, feel something, this mind will not stir like before. It has samadhi. It's collected, unwavering. Then when you see something or hear something, it's very clear. You see things as they are. You hear whatever as they are, without the conditioned mind to come in and condition you into whatever negativity. So seeing things as they are means the mind is collected and unwavering, and the conditioned mind doesn't come in and interfere. And when it doesn't come in and interfere, you realize in that pure perception, the pure seeing or the hearing, there is no word, there is no concept. It's just that, the pure awareness before the knowing. So that's why the Buddha said, in the hearing is only the hearing consciousness. In the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. You have to go into all this during the meditation and out of the meditation in your daily life. That's the reason why during the time of the Buddha, a lot of monks, when they came and see him, he only explained the six sandal. Even the fire sermon is the same. And they just awaken, become arahant. So this six sandal is very powerful, very important. You need to develop the stability of, initially is the samadhi before the wisdom. Then when you can see things as they are, you will understand truth, you will awaken. The third turning, the direct seeing will arise. Then all of a sudden, your nature inside, the silent mind will awaken. Then you will understand. That's why when you understand, the panya, the wisdom, the last spiritual faculty will arise. When this panya and wisdom arise, this is the one that stabilizes your mind. You don't need samadhi anymore, technically, later on. That's why this equanimity, upekha, enlightenment factor, will arise after samadhi. And this is the one that can keep you in the state of equanimity even while confronting the death process. The awareness, the tranquility and stillness of mind, the enlightenment factor, will keep you aware, peaceful, tranquil and still. And you will know what this is. And you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world. You will not fear death. You will know how to die before you die. That's why all these are related to the enlightenment factor and the teaching and the understanding. And the form and mind don't have to remember anything, don't have to do anything, because this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. And because it's connected, this form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why no more sakkaya ditti, no more avijja. Avijja paccaya sankhara will not arise. It will not grasp, cling and hold on to things. The aggregate become pure aggregate. No more upadana khandas. So this is how the meditation can be developed and understood clearly. That's why the cultivation is very different. Eh? Coming back to your question, I think you didn't really ask your question. Eh? You just mentioned about the various mind. Eh? So what I'm trying to tell you is, you go into the meditation, when you realize the true mind, like what I told you on Tuesday, you will understand everything. Then all this question about this mind, that mind, there is another mind, forget about it. All this will collapse. Where you know these are all mind states, not the sati, not the awareness. Then when this one is fully aware at that time, when you experience the silence, the stillness, the tranquility, especially when you go through the cessation, which is the enlightenment, even one glimpse is enough. The wisdom of the Sotapan and the Sakadagami is enough. He will know, he know you, he know me. This is not what you think. There is nobody inside. That's why I say it's non-self. Not no self, no. Not nothingness, no nothing. There is a form in mind. But this form in mind is not you. There is no permanent unchanging entity inside there. There is no thinker behind the thought like the SJPA talk. I think Angie asked me the question, then I answer the egoic mind, you remember? Then the first person who asked me about the glimpse of Four Noble Truths, I also answer him in very clear manner. I highlighted the three type of dhamma, the three phases of dhamma. Means when you cultivate, you have to go through these three phases of dhamma cultivation. First is pariyatti, the learning or the teaching, which most of you all have. But the second part, putting it to practice, patipatti, is the one that most of you have to work on it some more, especially reflection, contemplation. This second wisdom must be very stable. Then only the glimpse is possible. That's the reason why Avijja Sutta, you move to step 4. Step 4 is Yoniso Manasikara, the initial vina. That step is very important. And that step comes from constant listening to the Dhamma. That's why now with all the video recording and the audio file, it is very helpful, especially the video recording. So clear. You can listen to the SJBA talk. The whole thing so clear, so beautiful. And with the video, you can see me in action there. And like Ingby said, such a difficult topic makes so simple within that period of time. It's not easy. And you listen to it again, you will realize that even though you think you have already heard, but when you listen again, there are so much more detail inside there, which you never manage to catch when you are listening. Unless you are a very advanced cultivator, then you will be able to follow. That's the reason why I used to tell you all, the sharing that I give is for all levels. No matter what level you are, you can follow. Because it covers the whole spectrum of understanding up to that level. Then if you have developed the cultivation, you will be so amazed at the way Dhamma has been taught and unfold. Because these are things that normal people cannot teach you. Because they themselves have not realized it and developed the understanding. That's why it's not easy. especially the Q&A part, the two questions, the way I answer it, that day I don't know what happened. The condition just fall into place, the Dhamma want to come out, and it was so nicely videoed. That's why you must go and listen. Yeah. And just now in the office, I want to just find out how many people view it. I was so surprised. 340 over people view it, and it's 2 hour plus. Normally, the earlier one, I think maximum 100 plus, stop there already. People may not really appreciate or understand. But the other reason could be the SJBA talk sharing. The audience are wider, more people, more spectrum of people. Then that day, the full bag of book that I brought there, at first we thought maybe no need so many. But the moment I put on the table after I finished the talk, I look back, all gone. No more. Because people are interested after they hear the talk. The talk is different, very different. These are not normal Dhamma. These are beautiful Dhamma. Okay, we come back to tell me, what is your actual question?
Actually,
you explained a lot. Yeah, I explained a lot. But what is your... the original intent of the question.
My intent is to say that after what you said on Tuesday, I was I went back and I reflected, and what I said, front and back. Actually, it's just different moment of thought. Then and kind of jumble up, but actually, it's just like. For example, I do this, then the mind proliferate. Then the when the anger arises, for example, then there's anger, then stop. Then if there's something you add on to the anger, also actually it's just one thing, and then if there's no need to be proliferate, and there's no
and that's what I told you, aware, finish. No need to think. Think for what? Sankara anicang, sankara dukang, lead to suffering. Why you want to think? Unless you want to reflect, contemplate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Or you want to arise, manifest and help people. Then your three way of right conduct, right speech, right thought, right action will be there. If you have developed the cultivation, it will be there. You will know how to arise them,
Then after that, when I was doing the contemplation, I recall one of your talk. You say something like you one must cultivate the virtue, the whole. Then because
that was last Thursday one.
Then because of
hey, you are the one that did the transcript, isn't it?
Last Thursday, no, on
15. 15 one, not the last 15 one. Last Thursday Ponchi, I haven't gone through yet. I just got the file today. So yours I finished today, that's why I sent out. You are the one, but you miss out on virtue and all that. You miss out, I add in for you.
I was thinking, so actually, for example, even though what unwholesome thought that arises, it's actually a kind of like appreciation. Awareness was there. Awareness was there.
Because all this wholesome thought like virtue, gratitude, respect, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, goodness, they will arise when you have the Dhamma. Actually, without Dhamma, it's all thought-based, understand? Trying to be good, trying to have right thought. That trying is by the egoic mind. How can the egoic mind have right thought? That true love and compassion, my nature realized, is after the Dhamma come in, only that one is a true one, sincere one. Before that one is all try to be good on, pretend to be in that mind state, understand? Even when you already metta that time, it's all from the will. You will it out. It's from the thought. It's not from the understanding. But when it's from the understanding, when it unfolds, virtue becomes something very natural because you are incapable of evil. So everything that you arise is for the good of the many, is without the evil roots. That's why it becomes virtue. And virtue is not according to you or according to who. Virtue is nature's law. Whatever that is without the evil root is virtue. After that, you know what Krishnamurti say? Don't try to be good. The absence of evil is good. Do you understand that? If you are incapable of evil, like the Buddha's advice, avoid all evil, can you do it? You can do it. You naturally become good, isn't it? Virtuous, isn't it? But you are incapable of evil anymore. You have done the first part, avoid all evil. So that mind that is without evil, without delusion, ignorant, is naturally good. The absence of evil is good. Don't try to be good. Develop mindfulness, heedfulness, and understand what constitutes evil. Then make sure you apply the five ways to abandon unwholesome thought, especially the four right effort. Initially, when you still have wrong view, delusion, the unwholesome thought will arise first. Then you need to think of a way to abandon it. So that five ways will come in. First, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Then second, think of the consequence of holding on to such thought, which are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, cause your karmic nature to fall. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, abandon it. Then the third way is the best, the meditative way. The Buddha say just relax, maintain awareness to understand what is going on. So when you just relax and aware, you cannot think in it. True or not? You cannot think in it. So whatever emotion that arise, the wrong thought that arise with the evil root, whether greed, hatred or delusion, which could be fear or anger, desire, lust, all those things, when you just aware without thought, it will not move. Not move means it will not stir. It will just stay there. Then when you are aware without any negativity or wrong view, then this evil root got no more energy to move. Then what happens? When you are with it, the fear or the anger or the lust or the craving or the negative emotion, when you just aware of it, what happens? Then you realize that everything slow down and cease. When you went through that process, you will come to understand, and your mind is so amazed, actually the Buddha is right. No need to do anything. I just aware. Then the whole thing ceases. Then I understand why the Buddha say, these are dependent originating mind state. They are not intrinsic within your nature, because they are not there originally. Then how did they arise? That's why the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. And when you cultivate Dhammanupassana, six internal sense bases, mindfulness of it, and six external sense bases, mindfulness of it, then upon contact, they give rise to the respective sense thought consciousness. That's how you see the stirring of the mind. That's how you see the origination factor behind anger, hatred, and fear. Before that, it was none. But because of the wrong view, you stir your mind, it conditioned it to arise. After it arises, what happened? You get yourself caught in it, entangled, agitated. Then you become unhappy, miserable. That's how it conditions suffering. You grasp onto it, hold onto it, or you reject it. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So the stirring of the mind comes from your wrong view, your lack of understanding. Think it's just the way it is. Why did you do that? Because you cannot accept them for what they are. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. So when you start to understand all this, then you realize, no wonder the Buddha said these are dependent originating mind state, condition arising. When the wrong view is not there, it ceases to be. When the wrong view is there, it's still. That way I just develop the ability to be aware. That's why mindfulness is very important. It's a very powerful awareness, nature within. And this is the one that can allow you to understand things and awaken to all these characteristics of nature. Then you see very clearly, everything is like that. Whatever sankhara that arises, then you start to understand. No wonder the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang. Because it's impermanent and you want it your way, you are going to suffer. You will attach, you will cling, you will give meaning because you believe it is you, sakayaditi, self-delusion. You created that false personality, the egoic mind. Then you will develop the selfishness, the aggressiveness, the delusion to attach, to cling, to hold, trying to own, trying to possess things. This is how defilement conditions you into negativity and cause you suffering. So when you see all this, then you realize the third and the fourth way is the most beautiful. When I realize that anger is not me, that emotion inside, that fear, the worry, the anxiety, all these are not me, then why do I worry about it? Then why did I say, I am angry, I have fear, I still got all this? These are not you. Because you lack wisdom, you lack understanding, you didn't go deep into the meditation, you didn't reflect and contemplate on this, you didn't see this in the meditation. That's why the third way you must see it. You must see how the agitation, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, how they cease. You must go through it. That's why this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You have to experience it, go through it, see the cessation. Yeah. And the cessation of this mind state is not the cessation of nibbana yet. This is the absence of suffering, it's not nibbana. The absence of suffering is the peace within, the tranquility, the stillness of mind, the silence. But the real cessation of enlightenment, nibbana, is different. That one will come later. When the wisdom is stable, then you will have a glimpse initially. Then later on, it will become more penetrative and more strong. Then the cessation will happen over a longer period. So this understanding is very useful when you develop the cultivation. The third and the fourth way, you have to really go into it. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases, you develop mindfulness, awareness. Then how the sense data, external six corresponding one, come in, how they interact and give rise to consciousness, the respective consciousness. Then when you see the consciousness arise, you can also, if you are mindful enough, the moment the content of consciousness went in, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, that create the mental movement, the stirring of the mind, you can see them all. Then you realize this is what the teaching is all about. The Buddha said, trace the origination factor. So now I trace. I realize it's true wrong view. I stir my mind and I created all this evil negativity of mind state. So how can I retrospectively reverse it? That's why I need to reflect and contemplate. Why did I stir my mind? How did I get myself entangled? Like the Buddha said, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept them for what they are. You cannot accept the world for what it is. Then you realize, the Buddha explained in the original beginning of the teaching when he taught the monks, Asaji Deo. That's why Asaji told Sariputta, my teacher teach only very simple thing. He said, whatever that arise in this universe, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions my teacher has taught. Finish. Straight away Sariputta become Sotapanna. How can it be? It's because that statement is so powerful. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. Do you understand the meaning? Because ours is a dependent originating world, existential world, a condition arising world. That's why you need condition for phenomena to arise, to manifest. That's why whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So these causes and conditions you have to understand. And what are the causes and conditions? The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So it has to do with karma, a lot of things. So if it's tuned to karma, we have to accept. Because in the past, like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. You must have committed all this. For this condition to manifest, and now you become the victim. That's why all your sense experience, everything that you experience in life, they are connected to the past, causes and conditions. This is how you develop the understanding of the law of karma, the law of dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then you start to see everything is not what you think. They are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal. Even your five aggregate of form and mind is all like that. It's not what living being think. Hey no you, hey no me. Everything is just empty. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Causal phenomena, phenomena that arise due to cause. So all this understanding as you contemplate it and reflect it, it becomes very powerful. Then you start to understand why the Buddha said we have to learn to see things as they are, through the direct seeing, through that silent mind that can awaken the truth. Then when you see things without the words and the concept, then there is nothing. Then you realize, hey no you, hey no me, because it's the consciousness only. No one to see. The ego is not involved, the atta is not involved. Thing is just the way it is, as it is. Seeing things as they are. Krishnamurti call it what is. The suchness of things. Then where got this, where got that? All those things is the evil root. Create division among the living being. That's why the phenomenal world is like so gullible to them. That's why they can be deceived and deluded by the phenomenal world. But the moment you realize all this understanding, the whole lot of phenomena will collapse in front of you. Then they have no power over you. But you can still use them, live. The form and mind is still real to the extent because it is subject to karma. It can experience all this, it can understand all this, it can develop the wisdom to make use of it, to live the noble life. That's why the third phase of Dhamma is Pativeda. You get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is the life of an Arya or an enlightened being. And that phase is the most beautiful. And even though it's impermanent, non-self, empty, but there is such thing as life. There is such thing as the moment within life. And you can really live it with the understanding. You can be mindful of the moment. You can experience all of the beauties, the pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment. And every moment is so beautiful. Until the form and mind cease. Those phases of Dhamma is very beautiful. The nature provides the understanding to support the form and mind. That's why this form and mind, when it has that wisdom connected, is liberated. There is only wisdom, understanding, joy, tranquility, stillness, peacefulness. And everything is just the way it is, so beautiful. You can just manifest and become a blessing to all. This is what life is all about. And you can truly live it. You can live life to the fullest. You can experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Every moment, every instant is so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. Okay. So did I answer your question? Sadhu. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think before I forget, Adam got a question. Yeah, Adam. Yeah. If we still have the time, we will go through the short note. The short note is very useful.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
Nelma is okay. Yeah, you ask your question.
Because the Brother Teo have explained very far away, so the question is, I only know at the moment, but now I a bit hard to explain. So
Nelma, you try.
It has two parts. Basically, one is, for example, like we see like a living being is dying, and then the nature of the way is like it says like we want to be helpful, but the thing is like it's difficult. For example, you want to save a cat, but we have to think of the cost, the living cost, the take care, and then the time, all this. So it's like it becomes troublesome. That's why it's
but what is your question?
So
after you see all this, so what is your question?
It's like it creates like just not. I think the sankara part is that's the thing.
You must see that you are caught in sankara. You know why? You want to help. Who want to help? Who is Adam? It's the thought, understand or not? Forget about the thought. What is Dhamma? Condition only arise. No condition, don't try to be a hero, understand or not? Do you know the whole world, our planet, so much suffering being? How many can you have? You go all over the world. You go to India now, go to Africa. You must understand, this is not help. This is the thought telling you, I want to be compassionate. Understand? I want to help, I want to be a blessing to all. That ego one. But when you don't have the understanding, the Dhamma, when you don't have the capacity to do it, when there is no condition to do it, please, my advice is, don't touch. Previous Thursday, the 15th August one, I already answered. You read through, you will know. Because that healing part to most people is like very noble, very good. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you must really go into this deeper. Because without the Dhamma, you can get yourself entangled into a lot of karmic things without you knowing it. And the karmic consequence that come out of it, where you are touching energy, thought-based energy, energy field. And energy is what karma is all about, understand or not? Because karmic energy is a movement. And certain type of people's karma, like the example I give you, Chen Hua's case, because it's all conditioned by karma and you go and interfere, which Chen Hua did and able to save the butcher's mother. But you know what happened to him or not? He become the target, understand or not? That two non-human inside failed to get the revenge from past life. They went and see their master. Their master checked on land. We are not able to fight with him. He is invincible. So the teacher tell them, no way, on land, don't. Then wait for him to travel to the States, in the ocean. Then only they attack him. And that time was very potent. Chen Hua cannot do anything. That's why the affinity Kuan Yin, he called out to Kuan Yin, and Kuan Yin came. Kuan Yin's nature came, and saved him. That's why he related all this story in his biography. You go and read. So these are the things. So, coming back to your question, is like the thought will be like telling you all this. Yours is a cat. There is another story last time, many years back, I heard the dog. A lot of them. Then that day I received a video, which is a very noble deed too. There was a orphanage in, I think, Sungai Petani. Sungai Petani. Where my friend sent me. They had 211 orphanage. They kept them there. And they have to survive. They go to all the people who can help them. You just imagine 211, 1 meal one day. Not 1 meal one day, sorry. 3 meals a day. Let's say you very economical, cook yourself, frugally try to survive. Even 10 ringgit per person is already considered very frugal. True or not? That also need 2,110 ringgit a day. You know? What about utility bill? The housing, the accommodation and all those things. And need to send them to school. You know? They arrange for all the van and public transport to send them to school. Yeah. And this group of orphanage, they are all from mixed race. Yeah. All the three major races are there. Malay, Indian, Chinese. Yeah. That's why they did a very good job. And this, the person who run this orphanage, if I'm not wrong, I was told, I don't know whether true or not, he said, these are the people who went to Mandarin school, Chinese school. That's why they teach them how to sing those Kan En song. You understand? Huh. I saw in the video, they were singing, whole group of them. All this song of gratitude and all those things. So, if you have that condition, if that is what you want to do, then you have the what they call it, the passion, the love, then it's different. That's why that Thursday, class 15 of August, I asked you, are you gifted? If you are gifted from your past, then you can do, because you have that gift to heal and help people. But you must have the Dhamma to complement. Otherwise, you can get yourself into unnecessary karmic consequence too. That's why this understanding is very important. And the Dhamma way, as I explained, even in the short note, is to teach them the law of karma, to teach them the Dhamma, so that when they understand, they will know how to help themselves. Because to me, I will never interfere. I will never do it for them. Because no point. Your life, you better decide how you want to live. If you interfere, it's your thought coming in, it's not you. Unless there is condition, then this nature will arise. Even I don't know them, I will help them. But when there is no condition, nothing happens. Condition means what? Condition is very deep, do you know that? Condition means in the past, they have past karmic affinity. They have done certain goodness. They have helped people before. And these people recovered. Then this like they themselves get into trouble. Then through all this condition, they come, they meet. Then there is condition, my nature know. That's why I help. They will recover. Otherwise, they cannot. No condition. That's why this like you think so many come to Sui An for no reason. Because he wants to do this work. This is his work. And a lot of people has affinity with him. But whether they have the condition to recover is another thing. They may have condition to meet up with Sui An, then come. But it depends on their past. If there is no condition, they cannot recover. A typical example is Pang and Angie, your relative, your doctor. That one is a typical example because the belief system is different. And they cannot really have the condition to receive. Because early on, I didn't know the husband got hearing problem. That's why they come to the Tuesday class, but he sat at the back. He can't hear, actually. But he didn't let us know. Until later, only I come to know, because I was calling him a few times. Then the rest of the people go and notify, if Brad Teo call you, Brad Teo ask you that question. Oh, then only he responded. Then only I come to know he got hearing problem. Then I asked him to sit in front. But then, because of the comic thing, very funny. When he started to come in front and want to listen and learn, because I think the husband can understand this type of teaching. But that night or one or two days later, the wife got a fall. That's why after that, I didn't see them anymore. Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, very good. Go to Tsuchi is very good. Huh? So now they are trying to treat that condition. Very good. Very good. At least doing something very positive. But karma is something that is very complex, not easy to understand. Yeah. But those who have the understanding, they can explain to you. But you have to do it yourself. And those who do it themselves, they have the faith, they turn around beautifully. Beautifully. Yeah. Even depression case and all those things. Some are very severe karmic obstruction. Yeah. You can't even talk to them. They can't even respond because the whole thing is so bad. And yet that one can have a solution to it too. But they must have faith. There must be past causes and conditions. Yeah. So without condition, my advice is don't go and get involved. Unless it's from your past. You are gifted to do that. And that is what you want to do. Then it's different. Okay? Yeah. What is your second part?
Second part is more on the... Maybe it's more on my individual problem itself. It's more like if you try to advise people good things, but instead people take it wrongly and then they start to proliferate around the bunch, the grapevine, and they said, you know, all the unwholesome things.
So now you understand. When they don't want you to help, if they don't want to be helped, don't kipo. My advice is don't kipo. Otherwise, you will get a lot of this type of thing coming back to you. Because not everybody is what you think. That's why your thought will tell you all sorts of things. But always remember, unless you yourself have the Dhamma, you are ready. What you can do is limited. What you can do is limited. That is what I realized. Most people who are gifted also, they can do only that field that they are gifted in. Apart from that, they are quite limited in their ability too. So all this is the understanding that you must have. Okay, no more questions. So we go through the short note first. The short note is more important. Okay, turn to my Kayaramita. Okay, 15 August, Thursday class, outline short notes. Outline short notes for Brother Theo's 15 August 2019, Thursday class. The key to successful meditation are the four support for awareness-based meditation. So these four support, you know, they are relax, aware, 24-hour and trust. Is also written on the whiteboard. You may listen to the recording for more instruction on preparation before meditation. So that day, I think I summarized the cultivation in quite detail. So you can read through it. Then Sister Angie's question. When she is relaxed, she can be mindful of her own breathing very clearly. And she can also see the three universal characteristics of impermanent, non-self, and suffering state. Hope Brother Theo could guide further. Then I ask her, can you explain how you are able to see the three universal characteristics? This one I have to listen to the recording again. Where you miss out all this? You only write one sentence. he only asks, I forgot what did you write a question? You got only one line. Then I feel funny, you know, because I never remember hearing only this type of question. So I go and listen, then only I realize the actual question is different. Then Angie replied, this is what you miss out also. This one is what she said, which is very good. Angie replied by saying, when she just let things be, the mind settle down and become very peaceful and quiet. But when she cling on to it, the thinking or sankhara activity will perpetuate and proliferate. And it is as if when you keep chasing after the thinking, you make it into a big issue. This one is by Tammy. So this one I retain. So this is a very good contemplative understanding, where she go through that silence. When she just relax aware, it become very quiet, very peaceful. But when the moment she give meaning to the sankhara activity, the thought, she realized all this thinking will start to proliferate, perpetuate. Then it's as if when you keep going after it or give it more meaning, it turned into a big issue. Actually, it's no issue. He know you, he know me. But even the Hong Kong protester also become big issue. You go and think, how can these people do that? Why all these youngsters got nothing to do? You go and think that way. But there is always this two duality of thinking. There are two division of people. One is with the ideology, condition. The other one is the society that doesn't understand why these people do that. So there are other people, older generation, who can appreciate life. They tell themselves, this is not the way. What they want is peaceful society so that the economy can go on, so that everybody can go on with their life. But because of the disruption, every day they have to deal with a problem. So much thing happen. So much people get killed, wounded, harmed. Over what? Ideology, division, right and wrong. So all this to me is the way society is. Nothing to do with us, understand or not? But we can help, like I explain in the notes later. I will read through, then you understand. Then he said, this is how she get entangled. Then I replied, you may maintain meditative silence without thought to observe and develop the contemplative understanding via relating what you have observed to the essential Dhamma. So this observation and contemplation can give rise to the initial second turning wisdom, wisdom's understanding. And this second turning wisdom can be stabilized if you continue to contemplate after the formal meditation to develop the clearer, deeper understanding. After you come out of it, you still need to contemplate and reflect and inquire. And as you go through this many, many times, your understanding will stabilize. And you got conditioned to have Dhamma discussion group or sharing, then you will develop more understanding. Then I read on. Brother added that it will be better if the understanding can come about via the direct seeing when you are in a meditative state of deeper silence. This type of wisdom is more penetrative. After that, when one reflects into it, the understanding becomes very different. It is very penetrative and more stable. However, this state is rather difficult to realize. This is the third turning, understand? That's why I say you have to go into the silence deeper and deeper until very stable. Then later on, when your mind enters a deep, when you come out of it, throughout the day you are aware, mindful at that direct seeing. That is the direct seeing in the midst of life without word. That's why in the text you can read, there are a lot of this Arahants, men and lady. There was one lady, you remember, last Tuesday class? She washing her leg. As she pour the water, she just awakened and become Arahant. So, there is another monk given a white cloth by the Buddha. He asked him to meditate on the white cloth. So after the white cloth become dirty, he straight away realized around you. So this is how a lot of these monks during that time, because the direct seeing wisdom and the understanding is not easy. They reflect, they contemplate, they stabilize their wisdom. So that's why I wrote here, I say, the first and second turning wisdom, which is easier, can lead to the arising of the initial wisdom, yonisomanasikara, needed to stabilize your daily mindfulness. So you have to do this, constantly listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate until very, very clear. That's what I did too during the early years of my cultivation. So leading to step 5 of the Avijja Sutta Vijayasati Sampajana, I realize not until you have this daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, very stable, you cannot have sense restraint, you cannot awaken, your mind cannot go into cessation. That's why yoniso manasikara is very important. Then if you have cultivated before, yoniso manasikara is very penetrative. It can lead to awakening. Sometimes through hearing truth, it will transform you. Yeah. So this part is very useful. Then, note number 7. All sankhara of the nature to arise and pass away. You must see this in your meditation. If you give meaning and follow the sankhara without the requisite understanding or wisdom, you will get yourself entangled, which NG come to understand. Entangled with the clinging and the suffering. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. So it is not a permanent, unchanging entity, not I and not me. So this Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang is very powerful. All of Sankhara is impermanent. Because it's impermanent, it's dependent originating. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity, not I and not me. So one must reflect on this until this understanding becomes very clear within one's daily mindfulness contemplation. You have to contemplate. Last time during the early year, I remember non-stop for 3 years. I did this cultivation non-stop. I was working the time as an engineer. Before I sleep the next day, until the whole activity end, until I sleep. It's like non-stop, continuous. Initially, it's the waking moment. Then later on, my mindfulness and awareness can even go into the sleeping moments. Then number 8. How do we cultivate this contemplation? We can do it when we are alone in a quiet place or a quiet setting, or on a silent morning when others are still asleep. You can sit in a quiet place or walk or pace up and down slowly, reflecting. We are inquiry on the Dhamma that Lord Buddha had taught us. Through contemplation and reflection, clear understanding and joy will arise as the beautiful Dhamma unfolds. This can happen especially at retreat area. Then later on when you have this understanding and stabilize, when you come home, in your house you can do it. Even in your office you can do it. During lunch break or when you got nothing to do. You can do it. After that, whenever we encounter similar sense experience or situation, our understanding, which is yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom, will prompt us not to react. We are telling us that all phenomena exhibit the 3 universal characteristics of nature. This can happen when you have reflected and contemplated on it, that everything is of that nature. To arise and to pass away, they come and they go. All phenomena is like that. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So when this become very stable, very deep, it become very different. I remember that time when I was doing this contemplation and reflection, until the stability of understanding, the wisdom was so high. Even the monk, they chant in the early morning, Rupang Anicang. The moment that one come out, I understood all of form, whether physical form or mental form, they are all impermanent. Then Vedana, same. Because I saw them in the meditation. Vedana Anicang, Vedana Anatta. Sanya Anicang, Sanya Anatta. Sankara Anicang, Sankara Anatta. Vijnana Anicang, Vijnana. You can see them in the midst of life, in the midst of meditation, non-stop. That's why truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Then later on, when I look at building, when I look at highway, because I'm a civil engineer, I know the causes and conditions behind. They are arising. How the building comes to be. How the high-rise building, the bungalow, the terrace house, the highway, everything, how they come to be. Because I know the whole process. Then when I listen to nature, I can understand how all these conditions can come about. It becomes so clear. So everything is rupang, everything is anicang, so clear. And because it's anicang, it's anatta. Then because it's anicang, it's also dukkha. Because you have to accept the reality of this truth, what is. You cannot want thing your way. You cannot cling, cannot hold, cannot grasp. The five aggregates. If you grasp and you cling, you suffer. That's why we call them the five grasping aggregate, upadana kanda. They were conditioned suffering. So all this will become very clear until the understanding is so stable. Every moment of sense experience that you only saw manasikara, the wisdom will come out and prompt you. And straight away, you understand. That's why the second right effort to prevent the arising or unwholesome thought, it becomes automatic. The moment you understand, it ceases to have power over you. The mind does not stir anymore. Then everything is just the way it is. You will not argue with people. You will not create the unnecessary reasoning and all those things. You just let things be. Then if you have to agree, you just agree. Yeah, I think you are right. When you answer that way, you didn't lie. You go right according to him, not according to you. So no harm telling him, yeah, I think you are right. Because he's right according to him. Yeah, he want to be right. Otherwise, you end up argue. You end up quarrel. You end up having misunderstanding, dispute. All this is what the heedless people do. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is about right thought leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort. Then the right mindfulness. Then the right samadhi. So it's not about the opposite. So the opposite only heedless people do. For those who have the Dhamma, they cannot do. Because they understand all this. And they will just accept the reality of the moment and they just let things be. They will not argue with you. Unless there is condition to bring about understanding and wholesomeness, you will not do. Okay, I will read number 9. Yeah? Note 9. The straightening of view will liberate one's mind. This is very important. After you reflect, contemplate, you straighten your view. One will understand there is nobody inside this form of mind to cling, grasp, and hold. The Dhamma on Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, and Sabbe Dhamma Anatta will be very clear. And there will be no more intention to be right or to argue with others unless there are conditions for it to bring about wholesomeness to help out in the situation. One will not do anything inappropriate. One will only arise the understanding to act appropriately with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path. With this understanding, one is able to apply this living Dhamma to live our daily life. Wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, will prompt us to act according to wisdom and understanding. that things are just the way they are, can't be otherwise. The mind will be at peace and have the understanding to act and resolve all life issues and situation amicably with right speech, right thought, and right action. The four right effort are important cultivation needed to develop sense restraint, leading to the right thought, right action, and right speech, the three way of right conduct. The first two right efforts are to deal with defilement first. The first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, speech, or action that has arisen. To do that, one must understand what constitutes evil. This one is very important. You must do the second turning, reflection and contemplation, and go deep into it. And one must also have a very stable daily mindfulness to see those defilements. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the root of all evil. One therefore needs to expand on the three evil roots until it's very clear. For more detail, please do listen to the recording. Then the five ways taught by the Buddha to abandon wrong thought must be cultivated. This is the beginning of cultivation. That's why you have to go through the five ways, especially the third and fourth way. So they are all listed there. The Buddha taught five ways to abandon unwholesome thought, speech and action. And they are, first way, to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, like hatred. You contemplate on love, or call to mind the direct opposite wholesome thought, which is loving kindness. Then when there is lust, reflect on contentment. Then second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. Now this one you can elaborate on it, because these are wrong thought lead to evil consequence. Your life, if you don't want your karmic nature to fall, then you must determine to abandon it. However, both first and second turning wisdom are still thought-based and not the meditative way. So the third way, which is just aware, is the meditative way. The moment one is aware, there is no more condition for the defilement to proliferate. The defilement will cease due to the law of dependent origination. However, this type of wisdom is not penetrative enough. Do you understand why or not? When you are aware, this defilement will cease. Bhapaticha samupada sevat. The 12 link. What is the first two link? Avijja paccaya sankara. Understand? So when you are just aware, is there any thinking? There is no thinking. That's why there is no avijja. Understand? No? That's how it ceases. Before you are enlightened, you think it's always wrong thought. But because you maintain awareness, you just aware. That's why without avijja, you will not think. So when you don't think, what happened? Yeah? The defilement has got no evil root energy to move, isn't it? The thought energy, isn't it? That's why evil cease. We are conditioned no more. So based on dwelling, it will not move. That's why awareness is very powerful. Awareness is a very powerful light that shines within your nature. And this is the one that can root out ignorance, burn all the asava, all the latent tendency, the anusaya. They can pierce through ignorance and liberate the mind. That's why without sati, without mindfulness, there is no way. And sati has to be developed until you are ever mindful in the midst of life. That's why sati sambhajana, the daily mindfulness, is very important. Without that, you don't stand a chance. And I used to tell you all, I think Ingbideo will know, when you are able to develop sati sambhajana, the real meditation only begins. Before that, there is no real meditation. They are all thought-based, I tell you. But you can't see. Without the stability of sati sambhajana, you cannot see the defilement. You are not sensitive. Your mind is not able to see. there is no clarity. There is no wisdom energy. It's only when you are aware without thought, there is no ignorance. That's why when you are aware, you cannot think. You know what is awareness, isn't it? Sati is awareness before the knowing, before the thinking. So that is the real sati. But the moment you think, you are lost in thought. The sankhara arises. You are already no more in that silent awareness state. That's why defilement can arise. Because before the wisdom arises, before you awaken, there is always avijja, wrong view, ignorant. At least you must develop the contemplative wisdom, first and second turning wisdom, yoniso manasaka, the initial wisdom. That's why in the Sunday SJBA talk that day on the 18th of August, that Dhamma friend that asked the question, which is very good. He asked the Four Noble Truths. He said, most of the time, he said, he realized he only had Dhamma knowledge. But he said, he is curious. Is it possible to have a glimpse of the Four Noble Truths? The way he asked that question, very interesting. Well, most people are like that. They, at least to that extent, he know that what he understands is Dhamma knowledge. Understand? Then, according to him, it helps. It only help initially, not the major problem. The major problem when it come, you cannot deal. Dhamma knowledge is not enough. You need to really have the penetrative awakening, the wisdom, the penetrative wisdom. Okay, I will read on. Then the fourth way, to trace the origination factor. Yeah, this one run again. To trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. From our sixth sendor, especially our seeing, hearing and thought, we can recall through memory the consciousness. We can see how the unwholesome mind state of anger, hatred, fear, etc. arise to our wrong view. According to Satipatthana Sutta, if one has developed the mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, one will have the ability to know how this defilement come to be. Then one will know how to reverse it retrospectively to right view or right understanding developed after contemplating. You should contemplate thus. Why did I stir my mind? So through reflection and contemplation, one will understand that people are the way they are and the world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. One must have this right view to accept the reality of the moment. We are seeing things as they are, as advised by the Buddha, in order to be peaceful. Yeah. So this is seeing things as they are, suchness. Then the fifth way is not so important. If all the above four ways also cannot help you, then you must determine strongly through your willpower to abandon it. That is, with tongue against your palate, determine to abandon it. And then there is a chart. This one, I think Tammy devised it quite good. The unarisen, unwholesome mind state or thought or wrong thought, you have to prevent it from arising. Then the reason, you have to abandon it. Then for wholesome mind state, the right effort to cultivate those that have not arisen or are still not in you, the right thought, right speech and right action. Then for those right thought, right speech and right action that are already in you, you have to refine upon them and if possible, perfect them all. If you go the Bodhisattva way. Then note number 13. The first right effort is to cultivate the above five ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. The third and the fourth ways are the meditative way leading to wisdom and transformation. The second right effort is the right effort to prevent all the wrong thoughts, speech and action from arising. With yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience, this initial wisdom will prompt you to understand how this evil wrong thought will lead to karmic negativity that will make you suffer. So all this understanding, they will arise. And you will be able to prevent all this wrong thought from arising. Then the third right effort is the right effort to cultivate or arise the wholesome thought, speech, and action that are still not in us through cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. One need to know clearly what constitutes right thought, speech, and action, so that one will know how to cultivate them. Now, this is the part I added for Tammy. Yeah? All your virtuous thoughts are right thought. All proper, gentle, wholesome, kind, and pleasant speeches that leads to love, understanding, and harmony are right speeches. All generous, kind, sincere, and good action are right action. Then the fourth right effort is right effort to refine upon whatever right action, right speech, right thought that are already in you, as there are always room for improvement. This one is by Tamir. Adam's first question is about fear. So he asks, which category of the three evil roots is fear classified under? Which category? Delusion. Actually, Tammy missed out these three evil roots. He said, Adam's first question is about fear. Finish. Luckily, I listened to him. I remember there is something more than that. I went back and listened to the audio file today. But I skip parts that are not important. I roughly can remember. Then note 18. Bratia explained, fear is classified under the evil roots of delusion. When one doesn't understand truth, there is fear. Fear about the future, fear of death, etc. Adam's second question regarding a friend of his clinging strongly to her success. Should she follow her heart or her thought? Bratia replied, yes, she should follow. She should follow her heart. Should be her heart. Which is the conscience, the good part. The mundane mind, your thought before you are enlightened, is always cunning, selfish, and deluded, having evil roots. Conscience can come out and promise to prevent us from making mistakes. However, the conscious mundane mind, with its views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system, is deluded. And it is the one that always very keen to condition you into negativity. So this mundane mind will override you, override your conscience. Sometimes you want to misappropriate things in the office. Then do you realize sometimes there's a voice inside there telling you, hey, this is not right. This is stealing. That is your conscience. Then after that, your thought take over. You know what your thought say? Aiya, government servant ma, akong one ma, why worry? There you go and do it. Or this company is so big, listed, doesn't affect them. See? The mundane mind. The heedless, deluded mind. Because before your enlightenment, he will do all this. The thought will tell you all sorts of story. So this is what you have to be careful. So I also continue, I say, however, the conscious mundane mind, with its views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system, is deluded. And it is the one that always very keen to condition you into negativity. The heart is always soothing, calm, and peaceful. Whereas the deluded mundane mind is usually selfish, deluded, emotional, and noisy. And it also chatter a lot. You realize that? Talking to yourself, chattering inside there. Continuation of question 2 by Adam. Adam helped a friend overcome her depression and she no longer cling on to her success. But she has a different fate. That one is just for info. Then Bratio reply. He actually asked a question. That's why I answered him. He asked a question. He said, how can he like convince her or make her understand. Mm. So my reply here is very good. Changes will happen to her when you change. Then with her faith in you, you will change too. With the faith in you, she will change too. Then Dhamma is nature's truth or law. The proper application of Dhamma can lead to a good life, which means be successful in whatever you do, whatever you want to achieve or develop as a career. So success in life normally covers a whole lot of materialistic success that normal living beings look forward to, like academic success, career success, financial success, or financial freedom, relationship success, and having a harmonious family unit, etc. So because this lady attached so much to success, isn't it? That's why you have to talk to her on success of life. Then you prove it to her that you can be successful in life through this understanding. Not until people see in you, people cannot trust you. Wow, 10:30 already. I read on, I finished this one. We are almost there. However, without a spiritual understanding, your life is still incomplete. You may be successful materialistically, but if you do not follow the righteous way, there will be karmic repercussion, and you may lose them after a while. Without a spiritual understanding, when one is confronted with the realities of life, as outlined in the First Noble Truth, one will also suffer. The eight realities of life are old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones and prized possession, etc. When we are with someone whom we do not like, and when we cannot get along with, and can't get along with. When you cannot get what you want, are you still peaceful and happy? Spiritual success can allow one to have the ability to lead a good and comfortable life, free of all worry and suffering. Live the life of a noble one, enlightened being. A life of tranquility, stillness, peacefulness, joy, happiness, and understanding. Free from all suffering. Adam's third question. How do we cultivate goodness, like healing people, wisely? Now he worried. So he want to know how. Then I explain. This is very good. To you, you are applying what you think is goodness, like healing others, to help people. But this is goodness according to you. The Dhamma way is different. The Dhamma way is just explaining to people the Dhamma to let them have the understanding so that they can solve their problem through their understanding. If they do not have the understanding, they will always look for you to help them solve their problem. To heal others with thought energy may get you entangled with their coming, negative karmic energy, and some of this karmic energy may have karmic consequences. The healer must have the appropriate wisdom and understanding, otherwise they may get into trouble themselves. It is advisable to develop the Dhamma understanding first and only manifest to do something appropriate when the conditions are there for you to help others. To have a better understanding of this, please do listen to the audio recording shared by Brother Teo on Master Xuan Hua's experience. You go and listen. Then Sister Angie asked about anatta nature that the Buddha taught. Brother Teo explained that one can see this anatta nature in your five aggregates of form and mind. They exhibit the three universal characteristics. Hence, it is not you, for they go the way of nature. When feeling changes, you didn't die, so feeling cannot be you. Same with perception, sankhara, and consciousness. This physical body, rupa, make up from four elements, can't be you either. Hence, this five aggregate of form and mind are non-self. If one grabs and clings, it will lead to suffering, because it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. They are dependent originating, condition arising, and a causal phenomenon. When condition is there, it arises. If it is not there, it ceases to be. Then what is this five aggregate of form and mind? This is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world. So use it and not be deluded by it. Anatta means it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. No, this does not belong to you. this one is non-self, but it is not nothingness. It is not no self, because there is such a thing as a human being. Human being exists and is subject to karma. True nature is not subject to karma. This is a nature which is beyond form and mind. And this eternal nature is also anatta, not a being, not a permanent unchanging entity, although it is the unconditioned. Your understanding will deepen when your mindfulness is very stable. Only when you go through cessation, you can only truly understand what anatta is. Even a glimpse of cessation or nibbana will lead to the change of lineage. Is the spelling correct, lineage? Huh? Looks like wrong. Linage. N-E, I remember. Yeah, change of lineage. And transform your form and mind into an Arya, a noble or enlightened being. Point number 26. The initial wisdom, Yoniso Manaskara, born of listening to the Dhamma and Dhamma contemplation, lead to the first and second turning wisdom, which is very important. Without this initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness cannot stabilize, and the glimpse of cessation also cannot arise. For the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya, to arise, you must go through the direct seeing, awakening via the silent mind while in a meditative state. Only after realizing the cessation of Nibbana can the form and mind understand the unconditioned. After that, the egoic mind will have no power over you, as this self-delusion has been completely rooted out. Regarding the recent protester and unrest in Hong Kong, people are just the way they are, no right, no wrong. These are just their views, their opinion of things, their conditioning and their ideology. When they are so conditioned, they will react that way. That's it. Finished. Let society evolve on its own. We can contribute by radiating love and metta and sharing merits after our Dhamma classes. We do our best. We share and transfer merits to make the world a better place through goodness and virtue in our heart. It's important that every individual must change for the better in order to have a better collective consciousness with more understanding, virtue, and less negativity. This is the reason why J. Krishnamurti said the individual must change for society to change, as the individual are the summation of the collective consciousness of the society. Then may there be love, joy, and peace within their heart. Keep on radiating all this wholesomeness and virtue, and it will have its effect. Radiate to all beings, starting from your loved ones, our Kayanamita and cultivator, and to all beings on this planet, our mother, should be Mother Earth, Mother Earth. Wishing everybody have the good understanding of life and a kind heart to bring about more peace to all. May all beings on this planet have more goodness and kindness in their heart. All of you have this kind heart, but you do not know how to generate it, to make it strong and powerful, so that it can open up and be a blessing to all. You know why it cannot open up? You don't have the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you will open up on itself. Okay, we finish, yeah? Sadhu, 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 yeah. Okay, then there is one more last thing before I forget. Just now, I don't know whether Tammy or Angie brought up about goodness. Was it Angie? Goodness. Oh no, Tammy. Finally, the Dhamma is about virtue. Whatever you do, you don't end up having virtue. Yours is not the right Dhamma. Because when your Dhamma is developed, you will naturally have virtue. You will naturally have that kindness, that understanding, the wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. So always remember. So don't practice virtue. Cultivate, develop wisdom until the wisdom comes. Then virtue is automatic. It will shine forth. Don't try to be good. cultivate mindfulness, the absence of evil is good. That's why the truth is always the opposite of what living being think. Living being will always tell you, why? What's wrong? Buddha also advised, why all evil do good? What? I'm doing good. What? But they never understood what good is. Good according to them, that is not good. When you are incapable of avoiding evil, how can you do good? When you are still deluded, how can you do good? So, always remember, don't be too eager to do good or cultivate virtue. That's like the perfection of, without wisdom, all this cannot come. Cultivate first, develop the wisdom. Then when the wisdom arrives, your mind naturally becomes different. Then you understand virtue differently, goodness differently. Then no more good according to you or who. Good according to the reality, nature's law. Because absence of evil is good. You understand? That's why in the Pali scripture is always used. The three evil root is what? Huh? Yeah, the Pali word. Loba, dosa, and moha. And the opposite three is aloba, dosa, then moha. Means what? The absence of evil, understand? means don't have loba. Not the loba you eat. No more greed, understand? That's why the absence of evil, that's why the Pali word is correct. You must cultivate and develop the wisdom to have this aloba. Means without the evil roots. You don't cultivate non-greed. Cannot cultivate non-greed on. Before the wisdom come, the greed will be there. How can you cultivate non-greed? You develop the wisdom and understand what constitutes evil, then avoid all evil. When you are incapable of evil, automatically you don't have evil, means aloba. Understand? Now then, you are transformed. Otherwise, every day, try to cultivate non-greed. Hey, I'm not greedy one. You think I don't want to take. That is not aloba. Understand? The subtle greed inside, your desire, your craving, your mental activity and movement, all you cannot see. And outside gross one, you say, hey, I didn't take. I don't have greed now. otherwise, I would have taken it away. That is not the teaching. The teaching is different. Okay, we better share merits. Then we end. Akasata chirbomata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tuloka sasana hita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo imina pun devo asato kalena sasa sampati hito ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem, then we end. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. the more devoted Narayana Mita, so we cannot make it today.
Also, we need to thank those people who help to do up the outline short note draft. Without them, the outline short notes cannot come out. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. So that idea came from Chin Hao, which was very good. And it's a lot of job, because three classes at least, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, sometimes Dhamma talk. Sometimes house dana, so they have a group of them. So if you want to volunteer, you can. Because one of the lady from Singapore, Pok Cheng Han, Sister Han's sister, Sarah Han, she also volunteer. She now enjoy doing the transcript. Yeah, she find it so useful.
Lie down, I want to do it. Oh, then I lie down.